Thank you so much, Mrs. Capel. Thank you to Kol HaLashon, and thank you to everyone joining tonight, especially all those who join regularly in the different Anenu groups, in the different communities. Truly an inspiration and a zuchus for everyone, for all of Klal Yisrael. Tonight, I wanted to speak about Hanukkah, and starting off from a medrash in the very beginning of Chumash, on the pasuk, v'choshech al pnei sahom, that in the beginning there was darkness. And the medrash says, choshech zu yavon, darkness. A perfect example is the Greek culture, the Greek empire, those that we battled at the time of Hanukkah. And what's so fascinating about this statement is really the enigma, because Greek culture appeared brilliant, bright, full of light. And according to this medrash, which we'd like to explore together, Choshech zu Yavon, darkness, is Greek. It's really dark and shallow and primitive. And the antidote for Choshech zu Yavon, darkness, is Greek, is really the Ner Chanukah, the light of Chanukah, and the menorah. If we take a step back and think about the uniqueness of Ner Chanukah, even compared to Shabbos Neros, it's really very remarkable. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, it's a taste of the world to come. Neros Shabbos are so sanctified, so amazing. Neros Shabbos serve on a basic level the function to be able to see. The Gemara describes it. It's Shalom Bayis. It's to make sure that the home will not be dark so that we can enjoy Shabbos together. Shalo Yikashel, so that people shouldn't bump into each other. They shouldn't bump into things. And when it comes to Ner Shabbos, the Shabbos candles, clearly, Lehishtamesh La'ora, we're supposed to use and enjoy the light. Contrast that with Ner Chanukah. There's a basic principle about the menorah. Asur lehishtamesh la'ora. You're not allowed to use the light. You have some change in the days when people use change, and you want to tell the difference between one coin and the other? Not in front of the menorah's light. The menorah's light, what's it for, if not to be able to see? And the answer is sure. The menorah's light is to be able to see, but a higher sight, not a physical, something much higher. An example, this week's parsha, Parshas Vayeshev. Yosef has an encounter with Eshes Potiphar, the wife of his master. And the story progresses. There's no one in the house. She's interested. And suddenly Yosef backs out. Demus deyukno shel aviv, the appearance of his father, appears to him and asks him, there's going to yet be in history a mishkan, a sanctuary. There's going to be a choshen by the Kohen Gadol with the names of all the Shvatim. Yosef, are you in or are you out? And Yosef stops. you know, Eishes Potiphar, if she was a melumedes, if she knew, jokingly, she might have quoted the pasuk. Ein ish me'anshei habayis sham babayis. There's no one here. And Yosef responds, there is someone watching. I can see someone. I see my father. And he might have said to Eshes Potiphar, Ani min haroim velo at min haroim. I'm from those who see. You're not from those who see. By you, Eshes Potiphar, you turn out the lights and it's dark. You cover the Avodah Zorah with a cloth like the Medrash describes she did. And it's done. You're not answerable. But we see deeper and we see higher. There's a different light. This is not even the sanctified Ner Shabbos that's meant for physical seeing. Ner Chanukah, a whole different level. The level of Ruach HaKodesh. The level of the type of people that we, as Klal Yisrael, as the Jewish people, produce. The Greeks really had it in for us. The Medrash tells us they made a legislation. Kisfu al keren hashor she'ein lochem chelek belokei Yisrael. They wanted every Jewish farmer to write on the horn of the ox that they have no share in the God of Israel. What do you want with the Jewish farmer? But the Jewish farmer, as he plows, sees the blessing of Hashem. The ox that he has is Hashkocha Pratis, that I own an ox. The seeds that they're going to grow. The rainfall. It's a blessing from Hashem. And Yavon, the Greeks, all they see is the ox and the plow. That's all they see. There's no God. Can't see him. And we respond, you can't see him because you don't have the light. It's not the first time that the Greeks tried to start up with us. There's a famous story, the Targum HaShivim, the translation of the 70 Torah scholars, where the Greeks demanded that we translate the Torah, Chumash, into Greek. And Chazal of the time felt that this was such a great tragedy that they have a tainus. We have a tainus, a fast day, Asara B'Teves. One of the reasons is because of this. Now, 70 scholars put in different tents, rendering Chumash into the exact same Greek translation, was certainly considered a remarkable miracle. There's a bad joke you may have heard. They say if they would have put 70 Jewish scholars into the same tent and they would have agreed, that would have been a bigger miracle. But be that as it may, is a miracle. But Chazal saw it as a tragedy. What's so bad? I mean, in our time, you'll forgive me, but Art Scroll is such a great grift. It's rendering Torah into the local language. What's so bad? And the answer, of course, is because the Greeks weren't looking to publicize Torah and make it accessible to the masses. What the Greeks were looking to do was relegate Torah to the library, to equate it with other scholarly works. And that's not what Torah is. Torah is Torah's Chaim, the Torah of life. Ora, zu Torah, light, illumination. That's what Torah is. The ability to perceive the Shechina, Hashem's presence. Every time we live our lives in accordance with Torah and not think of it as some ancient law book, we're responding to Choshech Zuyavon, the darkness of the Greeks, and what they wanted to impose upon us. Occasionally, I have the opportunity to speak at a local day school to children when they're going out on their December 25th vacation. And one of the stories that I like to share with them is a discussion that I remember from my parents in my youth, where my father wanted to offer to take me and my older brother to his work during this time. A lot of his co-workers were bringing their kids into workplace. It was like, get to see where daddy works. And my father considered taking us for a day. And the conversation every year predictably went the same. My father worked in Manhattan. And to get to the office, you have to go through Port Authority. Children, adults too, but children are especially impressionable. And my parents had the same conversation every year. The flashy lights, the colorful lights, the lively music, without depth, but it's attractive to a child. Choshech zu yavon. And invariably they decided that the children should not go through that experience. And children of day schools, all of us, to be paying attention that at face value, it's flashy, it's exciting. But the Jew recognizes Yad Hashem. The Jew on his plow wants to be able to have bitachon, trust in Hashem, in every step. And indeed, this challenge is not limited to Yavon, but it's an encounter that we have throughout the generations. I have in my possession a very touching picture. It's a picture of a menorah standing, as we're so familiar, on the windowsill. And in the background, across the street, is a Nazi swastika. The picture was taken in 1931 in a place, Kiel, Germany, where a gentleman, Rabbi Posner, was preparing to light his menorah, and his wife noticed the contrast. Even in those years, they knew what the Nazi symbol, on some level, was advocating for. And the contrast of the menorah and the swastika was so striking that she snapped the picture. If anybody wants a copy of the picture, it's heart-wrenching, tear-jerking. Feel free to email me, rmrhine, we spell it R-H-I-N-E, @gmail.com. Devastating, tragic losses resulted over the next years. The Nazis collected Judaica, memorabilia, for their museums, because that's all that was going to be left. And during those years, they had their rallies of pomp, of ceremony, power. They even had their special salute as they were busy building their thousand-year Reich. It's a rough journey sometimes. But ultimately, the light of the menorah wins. Those who know me may be aware that I sit on a Geiris Besdin. There is, in the past years, been an enormous surge of men and women desiring to make Torah their way of life. And it's a task that many Rabbonim have taken on to ensure that it's done correctly. And there are many steps, but at the actual Geirus, which is what I want to mention, we interview the candidate and we ask them, do you accept Torah? Do you accept rabbinic law? Do you accept the customs of the community? And I joke with the Rosh Bezdin afterwards, you know, it's like Musar Seder. To chazer, to review these principles, the animamins. And finally, at the end of this interview, as we ready for the Geirus, we ask the candidate, do you realize that by becoming Jewish, you're exposing yourself to the possibility of anti-Semitism? As is written in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Geirim, She Yisrael Bizman Azeh, that the Jewish people in our time, it's not always easy. And the candidate responding yes to each one of these questions with gusto. What's behind that yes? And the answer is Ora zu Torah. Light, that's Torah. Choshech zu Yavon. Darkness, that's the Greek. You have the swastika, Yemach Shemam, and you have the menorah. And anybody who knows will bet everything on the menorah. That menorah that's pictured in that which I described is now in the hands of Yad Vashem, Neretz Yisrael. And each Chanukah, Yad Vashem returns the menorah to the family of the Posners to light. Because a menorah isn't memorabilia. A museum is not the real home of a menorah. A menorah is alive. Its light radiates. Not for hishtamshus, not for physical seeing. Asur lehishtamesh laora on a physical level. But it's giving an otherworldly light. The light of the eternity of the Jewish people. Rabbi Yosef Mendelovich, famous Russian refusnik, was in the Gulag prison, and over there, as he grew in his Yiddishkeit, he fashioned a yarmulke from the prison uniform. And they noticed. And they called him in to the commander for questioning. And the commander told him, take it off. And Mendelovich said, no. And the commander pulled out a revolver and he placed it literally on Mendelovich's head. And he said, take it off. And Mendelovich said, I won't. And finally, the commander backed down, realizing that the Kremlin might not want Mendelovich dead yet. And he said to Mendelovich, aren't you afraid to die? And Mendelovich answered, you believe in many gods and one world, so you're afraid to die. But I believe in one God and two worlds. I'm not afraid. The yarmulke is more important. Choshech zu yavon, darkness, multiplicity of gods, can't see beyond the Kremlin. Ora zu Torah. If you want to see light, see the spirit of the Jew. I'd like to take a few moments, if I may, to speak about COVID and our times. In my opinion, it's very serious. It can be equated with a Shas Hashmad. Not in the traditional sense. It's not government imposed. For all of our frustrations, we still live in a Medina Shel Chesed, a country of kindness. But it's the same serious result. The lack of strong community interacting. It's causing a drifting. It's causing many people to suffer. No handshakes. To be able to see a genuine smile. So much less shiurim interaction. Shuls broken into mini groups, the equivalent of going underground. I realize it's not malicious. Shuvis from Rabbi Akiva Eiger and others, safety first. But it's taking its toll. And we have to galvanize ourselves to realize the need to reach out as best as we can. Children, to parents, to neighbors, to friends. At the start of the parsha this week, Rashi takes note of the contrast between Esav and all of his alufim, all of his list of descendants. And the start of this week's parsha with the discussion of Eile Toldos Yaakov Yosef. With the spotlight on Yosef, what's the contrast? And Rashi says, because Yosef is our response to Esav. When Yaakov saw so many of Esav, he got frightened. And Hashem told him that all of Esav is kash, is like straw. But your son Yosef is lehava, is a flame. And Esav has met his match. Forgive the pun. Yosef is the match for Esav. Why so? I'd like to suggest that Yosef experienced what Esav claimed, but Yosef came out on top. Esav claims, all kinds of claims, he was wronged by Yaakov with the Bechorah. He's Beroges. He's angry. Esav is totally out of bounds. He's bent on murder. Aharga es Yaakov Ochi. He comes with 400 men. Yosef had real reason to be bitter. He was sold. And Yosef says, Elokim chashava letova. Hashem had a good plan. No worries. No gripes. He's distanced from his brothers and the Jewish family. And he stays connected anyway. He stays moral. He stays loyal. Esav has met his match. Similarly, David issues with his brothers. And he doesn't become beroges. He doesn't become angry. He stays strong. He stays connected. And that's what we need to do. We need to stay strong and connected. And it's a volatile time and people's emotions are compromised. But we still have to stay on track. I have a couple, 2 weeks ago, consulted with me, Shalom Bayis issues. The woman, whenever she gets stressed, she lashes out. And her husband responds in kind. And we discussed it, and we developed it, and we explored the triggers. And then suddenly there was a great moment. The husband says, I now realize that when she lashes out at me, it's really a bid for closeness and support. And I nodded, that's correct. If you realize that, mazel tov. People say things. People do things. We're living in a difficult time. But the Chashmonaim saw a menorah, and for them it was also difficult. It was a huge leap of faith to light what they could. They had no real plan for the future. What's going to be for the next 7 nights? How will things work out? When will the crisis end? In their case, when will they replenish the fuel? In our case, when will COVID be over? But the lesson in every generation is the same. Torah is eternal. Torah is not about 10 years. It's not even a claim of a 1,000-year Reich. Torah is eternal. Do what you can. A smile, a hug, a phone call. People are on edge. Cut them a little flack. Got to make allowance for that. It's not okay to lash out. But if someone does, to keep our eye on eternity, on relationships, on trying to de-escalate situations, relationships with Hashem, with friends, with family, with community, to remember, Choshech Zu Yavon. They see a plow and nothing more. Ora Zu Torah. Hashem's promise to be with us always. Chanukah, to be inspired by the light. A Freilich in Chanukah, thank you so much. Please keep up the tefillos. May Hashem answer them, Litova. All the best.